Supposed to be continued tonight in the Ish Kodesh in the Piyajetzna's work in Parshas Bo. Tonight actually brings us to a fascinating drasha, because this is one of the, we find this a number of times throughout the Sefer. We're skipping to the end of the drasha. The way it ends is Yeser Devarinu Bazeh Eini Zocher HaMechaber. The Mechaber, the Rebbe Piyajetzna, although there's a discussion exactly who wrote down the drashas after Shabbos. Was it the Piyajetzna? Was it the Gabbai of the Piyajetzna? Was it someone who was part of this this Gehila of the Brokenhearted, as we often refer to them? But the point over here is that the Drasha is not recorded in its entirety. So in fact, as we'll see, the Drasha doesn't really end off with the quote-unquote conclusion or the end of the Vart. So instead, what we're just going to try to do is we're going to try to take what we can from the Drasha and perhaps try to reconstruct a little bit of the Rebbe's words. So the Rebbe begins in the beginning of the Parsha. Vayomer Hashem al Moshe. Kodesh Baruch Hu says to Moshe Rabbeinu, Bo al Paro, come to Paro, ki ani echbarati es libo ves leib avadav, I have hardened his heart, the heart of his servants, leman shisi ososai ela bikirbo. Literally, leman shisi ososai ela bikirbo means in order to amplify, or in order to increase the wondrous acts that I will commit within his midst. So the Ribbono Shel Olam is saying to Moshe, at this point in time I have removed the Bechira of Paro, I have removed his free choice, so that he can no longer even let the Jews go, even if he wants to, which again raises all types of theological questions in and of itself. But for our purposes, the Ribbono Shel Olam is preparing Moshe for the fact that at this point in time there is no question that Paro is not going to let the people go. The Ribbono Shel Olam is simply giving Paro the strength to do what he really wants to do, is giving him the strength to overcome his physical frailties. Because as a result of his human kaitis, just as a result of his human frailties, at some point in time, Paro would have buckled. But he doesn't want to buckle. He doesn't want to yield. He wants to remain obstinate. He wants to remain defiant. He wants to go ahead and rail against the Ribbono Shel Olam. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu essentially says, I've hardened his heart, which, interestingly enough, we normally translate hardening the heart as the removal of free will, but perhaps what it actually means is, I've given him the ability to maintain his free will. I've given him the ability to maintain the resolve to do what it is that he really wants to do, which ultimately is to defy me. Undumantes aper, and I will use this as an opportunity to show Klal Yisrael the scope and the depth of my miraculous abilities. Ulamantes aper ba'oznei bincha ben bincha eis asher salalti b'mitzrayim ve'es oso sa'asher santi vam v'yedatem ki ani Hashem. And what happens? You will tell over in the ears of your children and your grandchildren all that I've done here in Egypt, all of the incredible things that I've done, and they will know that I am HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Rashi comments, Eis asher his alalti. So what does this mean, that I was nis'alal b'Mitzrayim? Rashi says, Sachakti. Literally, I played with the Egyptians. That you will tell your children and your grandchildren the way I played with the Egyptians and all of the incredible signs, all of the incredible miracles that I performed within their midst, and you will know that I am HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Piyajetzna asks a very interesting question. He says, Ve'efshar, ki biyam sheratzu malachi asharis lomar shira, amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu ma'aseh yaday tovim bayam va'atem omrim shira, ki ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu sameach men pa'alvasin shorisham. So the Piyajetzna quotes the Gemara Masechet Sanhedrin. And the Gemara says that when Klal Yisrael was crossing the sea, and the waters came crashing back down on the Egyptian army, decimating the Egyptians, causing an incredible loss of life and loss of property for the Egyptians, the Malachi Asharis, the angels, wanted to sing Shira, wanted to sing a song of thanksgiving to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the Ribbono Shel Olam says, how can you sing? My creations are drowning in the sea, and you're going to sing Shira? In other words, what does the Gemara learn out from here? That the Ribbono Shel Olam doesn't rejoice over the downfall of the wicked. So the idea is, even the wicked are the children of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Even the wicked are the creations of the Ribbono Shel Olam. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't rejoice over the downfall of the wicked. The angels want to sing Shira, want to sing beautiful Thanksgiving song for the salvation of the Jewish people. And the Ribbono Shel Olam says, no, you can't sing. You can't sing while my creations, my handiwork, the Egyptians, are drowning in the sea. And by the way, this Gemara is not just, you know, a metaphor. This informs the way we observe our Yom Tov as well. We know already that from the second day of Pesach and on, we only recite, or really for us in Chuzar, the third day of Pesach and on, we only recite a partial hallel. And that's because already come the seventh Day of Pesach, which commemorates the crossing of the sea, we see an incomplete challah, only a half challah, a partial challah. Why? Because even our thanksgiving, ultimately, again, even our shira, our song to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is diminished by the fact that there was such a colossal loss of life to the Egyptians. The idea the Gemara is saying is that the Ribbono Shel Olam does not rejoice over the downfall of the wicked. Yet, the Kan, his alalti, sachaktim apalasan. Yet here in our pasuk that we just quoted above, it seems to be that the Ribbono Shel Olam is saying that sachakti, I literally played around, or I rejoiced in the downfall of the Egyptians. So the Piyajetzin is asking me, what's happening over here? Bayam Suf HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to the Malachim, you can't sing Shira, because we don't rejoice the downfall of the wicked, because even the wicked are my handiwork, the wicked are my creations. And yet here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe Rabbeinu, Ulaman Tesaper Ba'azne Bincho, Ben Bincho, you will tell over to your children, to your grandchildren, Eis Asher His Alalti B'Mitzrayim. Literally, again, that which I did, and Rashi translated His Alalti as Sachakti, I played around with the Egyptians, which makes it sound like that God is rejoicing in the downfall of the wicked. So which one is it? And the Piyajetza makes an amazing observation. Kisham Ksiv, Daber El B'nei Yisrael, Vayashuvu Vayachanu, Vayedu Mitzrayim Ki Ani Hashem, Vayasu Kein. By Kriyas Yamsuf, the Pasuk says, speak to the Jewish people, they're going to cross the sea, Vayashuvu Vayachanu, Vayedu Mitzrayim Ki Ani Hashem, the Egyptians will know that I am God. And yet, the Kan, Vayedatem Shi Yisrael Yado Ki Ani Hashem. So the Gemara, the Piyajasa makes an interesting observation. By Kriyas Yamsuf, Kodesh Baruch Hu gives Moshe Rabbeinu these instructions, and the thrust of the instruction seems to be to teach the Egyptians about the power, the presence, and the prowess of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Here in this pasuk, Kodesh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu, I'm going to amplify the miracles, the yedatems, that Klal Yisrael should know that I am God. That I am God. So the Shaila is, what's happening here? So the Piyajetzin says something beautiful. He says, Harbei Pamim, Yesh Sheyisrael Misyasrim, Kedei Linkosim Ula'ora Bahem Yiras Hashem. Says the Piyajetzin something so profound. There are times that HaKadosh Baruch Hu afflicts us. And there are times that we suffer. And there are times that it appears that the Ribbono Shel Olam is punishing us. Why? La'ora Bahem Yiras Hashem. To awaken within us a reverence or an awe for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Vaz, Kesheniskarvo lehigal, Amar Hashem simcha uschoku lefanai, Keshe iser va'ake es Mitzrayim v'lo Yisrael, va'al yedei zeh yasigu Yisrael yedias Hashem. So the Rebbe says something amazing. He says, at times, and again, he's talking about things that are difficult for us to comprehend, so we'll read the words, recognizing that I can't capture the full profundity of it, but there are times where HaKadosh Baruch Hu afflicts us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu punishes us, in order to awaken within us a sense of Yiras Hashem. Sometimes the Ribbono Shel Olam has to break us to build us. Sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to punish in order to uplift. Sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to go ahead and mete out vengeance towards us in order to go ahead and lift us back up, to awaken within us Yiras Hashem. Now we could say the words, but why this is, how this is, understanding the dramatic when this is necessary as opposed to showering brachas. So these are the cheshbonos of the Ribbono Shel Olam, but yet we know it to be true, that sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes ahead and deconstructs in order to rebuild us. But then as we get closer to Gula, as we get closer to personal redemption, the Ribbono Shel Olam takes the affliction away from us, and then vents his fury at those who afflicted us. You see, the Ribbono Shel Olam will sometimes use the nations of the world as the rod to afflict and to punish Klal Yisrael, but that punishment is not punitive in nature. That punishment is not just simply in order to hurt us. That punishment is there to build us. That punishment is there to uplift us. And when we experience that personal and national salvation and redemption, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes away that punishment or that wrath or that anger from Klal Yisrael, and he turns it ultimately again to the nations of the world, specifically the nations who afflicted us. We say this in the Pesach Seder when we say Shvol Chamoscha Ela Goyim Asher Lo Yedeucha Ba'Amal Mechosa Sher B'Shimcha Lo Karo We say, pour your wrath upon the nations who have consumed, who have afflicted Klal Yisrael. What are we asking for? Are we asking for revenge? So the simple answer might be yes, we are asking for revenge. Could also be we're asking for a system of justice. But on a deeper level, what the Piaget says, what they're really asking you is, you've afflicted us all of these years, and we understand that the affliction is there somehow to redeem us. The affliction is there somehow to uplift us. The affliction is there somehow to refine us. In general, the Jewish, our view on Yisroel, our view of suffering, is that it's not just there because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to hurt us, Chas v'Shalom. The Rosh Hashanah loves us, and He loves us more than we could ever comprehend or we could ever imagine. He afflicts us because there is a refining process that occurs through affliction. He afflicts us because somehow we are uplifted through the suffering. We are uplifted through the difficulties. But then, when we are finally refined, when we finally are about to experience this school of the salvation, Kodesh Baruch Hu takes that wrath and He turns it against the nations who were His rod. He turns it against the nations ultimately who afflicted us, and very often afflicted us way beyond what HaKadosh Baruch Hu had in store for us, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted for us. Masha'in king, he says, Masha'in king bayam, shahayi kidei shiyedu Mitzrayim ki ani Hashem. So bayam, so again, the whole point of the affliction by Mitzrayim was all in order that what? Was all in order that Klal Yisrael should be uplifted. That was the whole point of the affliction of Mitzrayim, that Klal Yisrael should be uplifted. Masha'in kin bayam, so what happens? When Klal Yisrael apparently reached the level where we were refined enough through the suffering of Egypt, the Ribono Shel Olam places now that suffering, that difficulty, those punishments upon Klal Yisrael. See what the Piagetna is saying, something dramatically amazing, which is that 210 years of servitude was the necessary time in order to refine our national character. Through the suffering of Mitzrayim, we were uplifted, we were forged, and we were refined. When we finally got to the point that HaKadosh Baruch Hu needed us to be, He then turned His fury towards the Egyptians. That's the Makos. That's the Makos. The Makos were the sign that the Ribono Shel Olam was telling Klal Yisrael, you've been refined from your suffering, you've been refined through your difficulties. Now I'm turning my attention and ultimately turning the Yisrael, turning the punishments towards the Egyptians. Masha'inkin bayam, shahaya kedei shiyedu Mitzrayim ki ani Hashem. But by Yam Suf, where the entire lesson of Yam Suf was to teach Mitzrayim that there was HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ubiyasim es Hashem in kol kach simcha lafano bisbarach. So by Yam Suf, the entire message of Yam Suf, right, was the Rebbe posits, was really much more for the Egyptians, in order that the Egyptians should see that there is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that there is a God. But yet, that realization upon the part of the nations of the world, that's not what gives HaKadosh Baruch Hu the ultimate simcha. He says, Ki yedias ha-Mitzrim, the entire point of creation was that Klal Yisrael should recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ubepratcha ben kach uben kach lohoi Yisrael kvar miyisiyasrim b'shazu. Lekach in HaKadosh Baruch Hu sameach mem ba'palasam. So this is actually quite dramatically amazing. What the Rebbe posits is as follows. Remember, again, now the truth is, although the Rebbe goes on, this seems to be the part of the Vart that is deficient. So therefore, this part doesn't. So we'll focus really much more on this first part. So remember, again, the Rebbe has a kasha. And this kasha is, we seem to have two conflicting concepts. Namely, that in this week's parasha, let's work backwards. By Yam Suf, the Malachim want to sing Shira, and the Ribono Shel Olam says, no, you can't sing Shira. You can't sing beautiful, praiseworthy song. Why? Ma'asa yodai tovim bayam. My handiwork is drowning in the sea. Yet here in this week's parasha, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe that there's still more makos to come, He says, you're going to tell your children, Eis asher his alalti b'mitzrayim. And Rashi says, his alalti means sachakti, I played with the Egyptians, which sounds like God is rejoicing over the downfall of the Egyptians. So how do we understand the distinction? And here, says Rebbe, is something dramatically amazing. What's happening over here in Mitzrayim is that where the Kadosh Baruch Hu is telling Moshe Rabbeinu is, the suffering of the people has come to an end. The barbaric treatment of the people has come to an end. For the last 210 years, the suffering and the difficulties and the challenges was an absolute necessity in order to forge the totality of their national character. But now it's done. Now it's done. Now it's done. And now what I have to do is I have to settle the score with the Egyptians because the Mitzrayim mistreated the Jewish people in such a barbaric way. You know, this is the famous Rambam. The Rambam Hilchos Tshuva discusses the idea. He says, if it was ordained that the Jews were going to be slaves in Mitzrayim for 400 years or 210 years, so why were the Egyptians punished? And the Rambam says so beautifully, so profoundly, because even though they were ordered to afflict the Jews, they went above and beyond. Their brutality was more than was ordained. Their brutality eclipsed the suffering that HaKadosh Baruch Hu needed us to experience. This seems to be the ongoing narrative of the Jewish people. How even if we're supposed to suffer, for some reason our enemies seem to bring a level of brutality that just defies comprehension. So in this week's parasha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu, the suffering has come to an end. It's done. It's done. Whatever Klal Yisrael was supposed to get from the Kor HaBazel, from the Iron Cauldron of Egypt, whatever Klal Yisrael was supposed to get from the last 210 years of barbaric mistreatment, it's done. It's done. And now, the only thing that remains is for me to turn my face of vengeance to Mitzrayim, to punish them for their misdeeds, and ultimately to show Klal Yisrael that there is a system of judgment, there is a system of justice, that I love them and I care about them, because look how I will extricate them from Egypt, but at the same time punish their tormentors. Says the Rebbe, that's what it means, sachakti. Doesn't mean I'm making jest with the Egyptians. It doesn't mean that I'm making fun of the Egyptians. It doesn't mean that I'm rejoicing over the downfall of the Egyptians. Sachakti is a lashon of simcha. I'm laughing, I'm happy, because the suffering of my children has finally come to an end. And they will now begin to see my face of compassion. They will now begin to see my love. They will now begin to feel my warm embrace. And they at the same time will begin to see the incredible judgment and justice that I'm about to throw down in front of the Egyptians. Masha Inkin, when it comes ultimately again to Yam Suf, the point of Yam Suf was that the Mitzrayim were to see the Yad Hashem. The point of Yam Suf, the splitting of the sea, and ultimately the destruction of the Egyptian army, was that the Egyptians and Paro should recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The goal of that miracle was for them. And therefore, again, the goal wasn't to simply go, it wasn't really directed at Klal Yisrael. Because it wasn't directed at Klal Yisrael, therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to the Malachim, don't rejoice, Nebuch, I had to teach them about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I had to teach them a lesson in theology through such dramatic destruction. The Ribbono Shel Olam doesn't rejoice in the destruction of any human being. For one simple reason, Jew, non-Jew, Tzadik, Rasha, we are all the children of the Ribbono Shel Olam. The rejoicing posits the Piyajetzna that is happening in this week's parasha is the rejoicing because finally the chapter of Din, the chapter of divine judgment and justice, has closed for Klal Yisrael. And the judgment and justice is opening up for the Egyptians. We're not rejoicing over the fact that the Egyptians are going to be punished. We're rejoicing over the fact that the period of Din, the period of strict justice of Klal Yisrael, has finally come to a close. And the period of Rachamim, the period of divine compassion, could finally open up. That's the joy. That's the jubilation. That's the excitement. That's the happiness. Not a happiness over the destruction of anyone or anything. The Ribbono Shel Olam doesn't want the destruction of any human being. The Baruch Hu doesn't want the destruction of even the greatest of Rishonim. He doesn't want destruction. He wants change. He wants tshuva. But the rejoicing over here is the fact that Klal Yisrael's period of difficulty and of incredible barbaric treatment was finally coming to an end. This was the happiness. This was the his'alalti. This was the sachakti. 210 years of barbaric servitude and overwhelming suffering and pain was coming to an end, and a period of simcha, of joy, of celebration, of divine compassion was finally beginning. And we could understand how the Piaget, even though we don't have the rest of the Vart, we could understand ultimately again what the Piaget was trying to tell. He's incredibly halikiva. What he's telling them is that we're living through a period of din. We're living through a period of incredible divine justice, of overwhelming divine justice, of difficult divine justice. But just like the Jews in Egypt went through 210 years of incredible din, of incredible divine justice, and incredible, what they felt was divine punishment, but it came to an end, and it paved the way ultimately for Achim. They were refined by their suffering. They were uplifted by their suffering. I think the Piyajetna was trying to give that same message to his Kehila as well. The day will come when our suffering will end. The day will come when our difficulties will cease. The day will come when din closes and rachamim can begin. just have to hold tight, because the Ribono Shel Olam doesn't rejoice in the destruction of any of his creations. And if he doesn't rejoice in the destruction of even the greatest of Rishoim, he certainly sheds hot tears every single day for our pain, the pain of Klal Yisrael, the suffering of Klal Yisrael, the incredible mistreatment of Klal Yisrael. And if HaKadosh Baruch Hu sheds those tears, we have no doubt that once whatever the suffering is supposed to accomplish, whatever it's supposed to accomplish is accomplished, the Ribono Shel Olam will close out that chapter and will usher in an incredible period of peace, of tranquility, and of exceptional ongoing rachamim. Halavai, we should be zochem Meretz Hashem, although we can't imagine the circumstances that the Piyajetzna was speaking about. But often in life we see our own periods of din, whether it's divine justice or difficulties in our personal lives or our national lives. And halavai, we should be zochem to take incredible strengthening, draw incredible chizuk from this lesson of the Piyajetzna. Whether we are suffering through a period of personal din, that I feel that I'm being dealt with in a difficult way by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, either as an individual or as a nation in those dark periods, we should be zochem always to hold on to the strength that at some time, the period din, first of all, to remember that the punishments and the difficulties and even the brutalities, the trials, the challenges, the tribulations are all there to refine us and to uplift us. And they will come to an end. And when they come to an end, we will find ourselves blanketed by an intense divine love and intense divine compassion. Ken yiratzon, and halavai we should be zoche to experience it as a nation and as a people, as a nation, as individuals, bekarav. Wishing everyone a wonderful rest of the day and a wonderful and meaningful week.